Popcorn Poops is brought to you by Audible.com. Please visit audibletrial.com/popcornpoops for a free audiobook and free 30-day trial of their subscription service. Audible is the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. Audible.com is offering a free audiobook download to listeners of Popcorn Poops along with a 30-day trial of their services. This week we're recommending Chainsaw Confidential, How We Made the World's Most Notorious Horror Movie, written and narrated by Gunnar Hansen. To download this or another audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/popcornpoops. Be sure to visit the correct URL so they know we sent you, and you'll be helping to support our show. Again, that's audibletrial.com/popcornpoops for your free audiobook.
We are the Popcorn Poops.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Popcorn Poops, the best married couple movie podcast / commentary track hybrid audio program on the internet. My name is Jessica.
And I'm Dustin.
This month, our theme is bad horror movies, and my pick for this week's episode is Juan Piquer Simón's 1988 film, Slugs the Movie. If you are syncing this recording up to the movie, go ahead and start the film, and then press pause as soon as the new World Pictures vanity card completely fades to black.
It's time to start the movie. Sinkers, press play at the beep after the countdown. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Now, this is called Slugs the Movie as opposed to Slugs the Novel, apparently.
That's right. This is based on a work of literature, believe it or not. This is going to be a fun month. We are kicking off our month. Can you explain why we're doing a month of bad horror movies first off?
Well, it's my birthday.
Well, it's not your birthday yet, but...
Well, it's going to be.
It's going to be. Your birthday is... When is it?
I'm not going to answer this question.
It's April 14th, and I should know because we've been married for quite a long time. April 14th, so I decided that for your birthday present, I was going to give you nothing but the option.
Oh, really? Ruin the surprise.
To choose the theme for the month, and you decided to pick your favorite thing ever, which is bad horror movies.
I should have made you know, I just got a better idea. I should have made you watch all of the Twilight movies instead.
That would have also been very terrible for me.
But this isn't terrible.
No, this
for
isn't
you.
Terrible for me. This is going to be a really fun, really, really fun month of movies, I think. So kicking us off is Slugs the Movie, or Slugs, what was the original title? Was Slugs Muerte Viscosa.
I love this intro right here. I love the slug writing the word slugs, like in the slime.
Yeah, the slime trail. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, the original title was Slugs Muerte Viscosa, or Slugs Viscous Death. Viscous Death, that's what that translates to. I think that is a very, very appropriate title for this movie. And I'm glad that they avoided Vicious Death and went for something more descriptive. Viscous, because there is lots of viscous fluids in this movie, and I think that's very, very appropriate. So, hats off to Mr. Simón, who actually gets credited in all of his international releases, not as Juan Piquer Simón, but J.P. Simon.
Oh.
They take the little accent off the Simón, so it's no longer a Simón, and it's just a regular old Simon, and I don't know why they did that.
Strange.
Exactly. But this
I mean, not but we're talking about like American releases, so.
Yeah, international, outside of Spain. This was a Spanish-American co-production, which is pretty clear when you're watching the movie.
Yeah, because of all the ADR.
There's tons of ADR, and if you look at the opening credits and the ending credits, so many of the cast have like Latin names.
Mm-hmm.
That it seems pretty obvious that...
Oh, there we just saw our credit for Sean Hudson, the novelist.
Yes, that's right. Actually, director Simón has directed... He's somewhat of a schlock auteur, so to speak. He also directed this along with a movie called The Rift, which is notoriously terrible. And then another movie called Los Nuevos Extraterrestres. I probably butchered the shit out of that. But
no, you faked it. Well, it was good.
That's a movie that's was famously riffed on Mystery Science Theater 3000 under the title Pod People.
Ah, yes.
So he's
the infamous Pod People.
He was doing this a lot before he tragically died in 2011 of lung cancer, I believe. Yeah, so that's a That's very sad.
Slugs in blue solarized light are much more frightening than regular slugs, if you didn't know.
Yeah,
like, are slugs in regular light, I mean.
Yes, if you look at the terrifying opening credit sequence, then you can...
I love the screams in the background of the opening credit sequence. Yeah, we didn't talk about the opening either. You know, the girl sitting on the
boat
with the boy. I couldn't think of that hard word, boat.
Repeat after me, boat.
And the boy's like sticking his foot in the water and he's like, there's something slimy down there. I don't like it.
Take your fucking foot out of the water, man. What are you doing? And then, of course, he gets pulled under.
And I'm pretty sure the whole purpose of the opening sequence was just so that they could have her standing there in her panties and hiking them up like on her hips in a way that a girl would never do for any sort of comfort.
Yeah, and her like...
Let me just get this wedgie up in here.
Her boobs want to come out of that top
so bad.
So bad. And I like how she knows how to turn away from the camera when she's about to take off her top. It's like it's one of those moments in movies where you're like, oh, this is a definitely gonna see boobs moment, and then it just turns into kind of a tease, but it's not so bad.
But you're like, there's gonna be boobs in this movie. It's cool. I'll stick with it.
Definitely boobs in this movie. Although I think
only one pair of boobs.
That's right.
It's true. But it's a good long shot of a naked ass and stuff.
My favorite line from the opening is definitely I think it's the first line of the entire film, and it is, so you weren't kidding when you said we were going fishing, huh? Well, I mean, first of all, why would her boyfriend, whose name is Wayne, by the way, Wayne, which is no offense to anyone who's named Wayne out there, but it is kind of a classically movie loser kind of name, right? The first one that comes to mind, the first other Wayne that comes to mind from movies is Wayne Szalinski. Wayne Szalinski from the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids franchise.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
And the first one's good. I think that might come up on a future Popcorn Poops, perhaps.
It stood up the test of time. We watched it a couple years back.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, it totally stands up. But yeah, Wayne Szalinski, right? I think the only thing that makes Wayne more of a loser name is
That was our first alcoholic's death, by the way.
Yes. So. Yeah, that's true. And this is second scene in a row with an alcoholic. But yeah, what I was saying is the only thing that makes Wayne more of a loser name is a name that's vaguely Eastern European, like Szalinski or something like that. Mm, so,
right.
Yeah. But.
Wow. That's awful.
I mean, no offense to any Waynes or Eastern Europeans.
Well, I don't think you can say that without being offensive.
It's just movie logic. It's movie logic, right?
So it's okay we kill the hobo off because he's drunk. He's not a hobo anyways. He's just evicted.
And we've come to learn that this movie really hates drinking. And we've got another character here who's kind of appears to be a lush. Her name is Maureen. She's married to a man named David. And we've got our main character in this scene as well, whose name
Mike.
Is Mike.
Good old Mike.
Good old Mike. They haven't said his last name yet. I think I'm going to save that one. They haven't said his last name.
Mike and Kim. Oh, here's Mike's best friend.
Yes, Mike's...
Don
Palmer, I believe his last name is.
And the way his wife, Don's wife, greets Mike's wife right here, this is really great. She greets her by saying, oh, the wicked bitch of the north. And you're like, what, huh?
What's that about?
Hmm?
Like, she's the only native Spanish speaker in the film that actually doesn't get dubbed over with a native's voice, which I think is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But still, her delivery of the wicked bitch of the north bit, I don't know, like, I had to roll it back and say, what, did she just say something about being a bitch?
Did she just call this stranger a bitch? And yes, she did. She did, because
apparently her kids, Ricky and Danny, who we meet later, are students in Kim's class.
Kim is a high school teacher.
Kim's a high school teacher, we come to learn. And they don't like her homework, so they call her the wicked bitch of the north.
And when we say don't like her homework, we're talking about some light loads here, people.
Yeah, we see what she
does. We see her give some homework out later, and it's just not that impressive.
No, not that much. Not that heavy a workload. So I guess these kids are just idiots, I'm sure.
But man, to be a mother that would meet your child's teacher and and immediately say the worst thing you could possibly think of. Oh, by the way, my children call you a bitch. You must be the bitch my children talk about.
I really like...
Oh, yes, that's me.
Yeah, that's a hell of a way to introduce yourself to someone. The thing I liked from the scene in the bar is... one of the things I liked is that Maureen calls Ashton, the city they're in, she calls it the armpit of America. But, I mean, we all know that that's Florida, right? That Florida is actually the armpit of America. That's kind of confirmed at this point. It actually turns out that there's a city in Florida called Ashton, so maybe she should have called it the underarm sweat gland of America, just to be, you know, more specific, to kind of put the period on the statement, right? But yeah, I don't know. Maria, Don's husband, there's nothing wrong with this, but is it just me, or does she look like she's 10 or 15 years older than him?
Yeah, she does.
Like, really?
She does. She does. And then now we're meeting, and I love how the first, what, we're like, how many minutes into this movie? 5, 10 minutes maybe?
Something like, and, not 10 minutes, yeah.
And we've met so many characters at this point that it's just like, it's completely overwhelming.
Yeah.
Because you see the guy get killed, and then...
So we've got Don Bell, the guy who gets killed, and we've got... And
No. I'm talking about guy in his house.
Ron Bell.
His name was Ron Bell?
Ron Bell, yes.
Is he Don's brother?
No. Don's last name is Palmer.
What? Okay.
Ron Bell is the drunk that they're going to find right now in the car. By the way, this witty banter right here, this ball-busting witty banter, makes me want to drink a cyanide milkshake. No kidding.
Man, I love the music playing in the background. Da, 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 da,
da. I wish I had a joke for how bad this music is, but that's all I can say is, holy shit, this music.
And like, it's got like this like end cap on it. Da, da. And you're just like, okay, so they drove about 2 minutes away from the police station and said some stuff to each other.
Yeah, and that's
in the car,
of course,
that wasn't very nice.
I mean, if you really want to pick this movie apart, there are obviously like little inconsistencies and stuff. Like, it's clear that when they're in the car, the reverse shots, like whoever the camera's closest to, that window of the car is open just for that shot. And then when it cuts to the other side, it's, the opposite is true.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, you can see the stickers on the car, like the little stickers that say, oh, we use safe seat belts or whatever the fuck those things say. I'm not sure.
We use safe seatbelts.
we have seatbelts in this vehicle.
As opposed to dangerous seatbelts.
Yeah, well, you know, the ones that have got spikes and lasers and shit.
So we also already missed our first scene of married couples having way too much sex.
Yeah.
That is a thing in this movie.
It is certainly a thing. And for a movie that does have a small amount of teenagers in it, there are a lot more married couples, and we are aggressively reminded
they have sex all the time.
Yes, they have very active sex lives, and that's fine for a married couple to have an active sex life, but it's not the kind of thing that you would expect to be brought to your attention in like a schlocky horror movie.
And it is just repeated. I mean, every single married couple in this movie, when you see them alone, they're immediately all over each other.
Oh my god,
if you came in the door when you came home from work and were like, hey, and I was like, hey, do you want your dessert before or after the main course? And you were like, I've got to keep up my strength, give me that red meat. And I was like, oh, what? We're in Slugs the movie now?
I like the line later that Don says to Maria where he's, oh my God, I just realized Don, Maria, Donnie, and Marie.
Oh.
Anyway, he says later when he's going off to save the world, he says, hey, when I get back, let's say we get naked and get crazy. It's the least sexy thing that anyone's ever said, ever.
Oh, my God. But she's totally like, I'll be here. And I'm like, oh, well, then I guess just ex-nay on those last few couple lines. I'm going to go just die with these slugs now. So.
Yeah, I've got so many. We were talking about this yesterday when we were watching this and making notes. I have way too many fucking notes.
Why do
I
have so many stupid notes for this movie?
I have so many stupid jokes and stupid things I want to say. I'm just going to go back. I'm just going to go back and mention some stuff that I've missed. But yeah, like there's a scene right after the bar scene where they're at home and we were talking about Mike and Kim having sex, right?
All these two again.
busting their balls, busting each other's balls constantly. But yeah, I mean, this movie has more ADR than a fucking spaghetti western. And you would think that using the ADR, the point of that is to kind of fix the line deliveries and stuff like that. But there are so many lines in this movie that gets, like, I don't know, lost in the mix or something. I had to roll back the movie. I'm trying to avoid saying rewind because this isn't, we don't actually rewind films anymore. We scrub back, I guess. But yeah, I rolled back the movie and so that I could understand what was being said, because even with the ADR, you can't fucking understand what people are saying a lot of the time.
Also, everyone's really mean to their secretaries in this movie.
Yes.
And to just everyone in general.
Yeah, everyone's really mean and stupid. Everyone's stupid.
Everyone is stupid.
No, everyone is stupid. Like, Mike does
some
stuff
later on. They're also really mean. Like, he's just yelling at his secretary for no reason. Every time the sheriff talks, he's being mean to somebody.
It doesn't matter
what.
And it doesn't have anything to do with the story. It's just... he's just yelling just to yell about
something. And you'll
sit
there for a minute and you'll be like, wait a minute, why is he even yelling at these people? They didn't even do anything.
I looked up the sheriff's office, by the way. Like the Mike pulls up to the sheriff's office earlier and you can see on the outside it said Wayne County Sheriff's Office and Jails, right? I looked that up on the internet and sure enough, it pops up in a city called Lyons, New York. Like that exact place is in Lyons, New York. There is no Ashton in New York, none whatsoever. So I've come to the conclusion that this movie is nothing but lies.
Yeah.
Nothing but lies.
Except for all the slug stuff.
Is that true? How scientifically accurate is this
film? It's pretty scientifically
You're
accurate.
Kidding.
The slugs are pretty for real, except for them like killing humans.
Right.
And some of them, but not all of them being larger than normal. I mean, some of them are pretty much just normal sized slugs.
We missed it, but did you catch Mike's last name?
No.
Mike's last name is Brady. That's right. The main character of this film is Mike Brady. So actually, I think that would kind of be awesome if there was a bloody horror film starring the Brady Bunch.
That would be, oh my God.
Each Brady child getting killed off horribly one by one.
One by one.
What a perfect film
that
would be.
That's wonderful.
It would be great.
Someone really needs to make that.
I'll make it. I'll fucking make it.
So we missed the reason why this movie is watchable though already, our first hint that this was a movie that you actually want to sit through. And that's that we came into the Ron Bell's house.
Yeah, the old man.
Mm-hmm. And we saw
him drunk.
We saw him.
What happened to, oh, his dog was outside, right?
Yeah. Okay. And we saw him, you know, devoured by the slugs and like,
well,
his eyeballs like hanging out and
kind of devoured by the slugs.
He's eyeless.
We saw worms. We saw worms like crawling out of his face and stuff. And I'm like, okay, those aren't slugs. And he hasn't been dead enough to have worms like eating him or whatever.
And then there were like a million slug trails going from the living room. They were all perfectly positioned so that they were like the same distance apart.
That was a weird scene to me because they keep showing us the slugs obviously to indicate that they are nearby. And then when he throws the pizza into the basement, there's a cut that makes us feel like, oh, they're in the basement. And then he walks right to the couch with a beer and sits down on the couch, and then he's killed on the couch.
Well, one of the things about the slugs that you're forgetting is that in this movie, slugs are incredibly fast.
Right. Well, we never actually see them do...
Sometimes.
They do... I want to say superhuman, but let's say super slug. They say they do so many super slug things in this film that I never get to see them actually do. Here's a good example right here. What's his name? Don is pulling like big animal carcasses out of this drain in the sewer, which are obviously, you know, it's obviously the work of the slugs. And the slugs are going to grab his crowbar and pull it away from him. Now, we don't actually get to see a slug dragging a crowbar, which is something that I would pay money to see.
Yeah,
I really would.
That'd be pretty cool.
Also, we don't actually get to see the slugs pull good old Wayne out of the boat in the beginning because he's too much of an idiot to take his foot out of the water. We just get the impression that he was pulled out of the boat
by
slugs.
Slugs.
Right. Mm. And then that on top of like how fast that they're implied to be, even
sometimes.
Though we never, sometimes, only when it's convenient. And we never actually see them move that fast or carry anything that heavy. The most that we actually see them do is in a really brilliant scene where one of them actually kind of bites Mike. Like, he opens up his mouth and bites Mike's finger.
It's the best scene in all of Bad Horror Movie history, actually. And when we get to it, don't worry, I'll point it out.
Pretty hilarious.
It's my favorite scene. Yeah, it's my favorite scene, not just in this movie, but in all bad horror movies.
It's a great little slug puppet.
It's beautiful.
So,
Oh, we missed all our... We just had some really important literary references there, and we just missed all of it. So Kim was in class. She's teaching her high school class, and of course, they're studying Shakespeare.
Of course, because in movie high school, you don't study anything else.
And they're talking about good old R&J. I'm sure Willie would just love being referenced in a film of this caliber. And of course, you know, R&J is thematically consistent and stuff. We're not even going to have to talk about why that's important.
I was hoping we would get through this episode without using the word theme or thematic, but oh well.
And so Kim asks her class the best question, and she says, "Any ideas on how Romeo and Juliet might have solved their problems?"
Some real critical thinking right there. Real literary analysis.
And then one of the girls like, "Well, I think they should talk to their parents about it, you know, if they would have been honest with their feelings." And then I just am devastated that I didn't get to sit in on this class when, you know, I was in high school.
Well, we get to first like look, and this scene kind of reinforces what I'm about to say, but in that scene we get the dichotomy between Pam, who's the good girl, and Donna, who's the bad girl. And we've got a scene here with Donna, who's hanging all over her.
She's licking his face.
Her very
This mullet guy's a rapist, by the way.
Yes, the mullet guy he will attempt a rape later on. And Bobby is your classic Donna's boyfriend, the guy that she was hanging all over. He's your classic curly-haired blonde guy that's in a horror movie that's always a fucking douchebag. I believe there was one of those in the movie Carrie. I want our listeners to write in if you can think of any other blonde curly-haired douchebags from horror movies. Write in, because I feel that that's a trope that needs to be, I don't know, defined a little bit more. So please write into thepopcornpoops@gmail.com.
So Donna was licking her boyfriend's face, and that's what you do. Also, in high school, apparently you get a lunch break that's long enough that you can leave campus, drive to a restaurant, and then how did all the other kids get there? I mean, Donna's boyfriend is clearly a dropout or already graduated because he's smoking next to his car waiting for her. But the other kids, get there? The other thing I wanted to say was that the notes on the board for Romeo and Juliet were really insightful.
Oh my
did
God!
You catch them?
Yes, I did.
We had the word Montague and then an arrow pointing to the word Romeo. And then we had the word Capulet and an arrow pointing to the word Juliet. And then we had an arrow coming from Romeo and an arrow coming from Juliet pointing to a question mark.
Wow.
It's pretty important.
What happens when you combine Romeo and Juliet together? I think that's when you get the Megazord.
Is that what happens?
Yes, that's in the fourth act of Romeo and Juliet is when the Megazord shows up.
Also, the cop was driving around with his sirens on for no reason a couple scenes back.
He was driving around with his lights on.
No, he had his sirens on, too.
Sirens on, too? Oh, okay.
Yeah, his sirens and his light. Now, if it was just the lights, then I'd just be like, it's Japan. Because cops do that here, and it's awful.
It is. It's very unsettling when you're driving down the road and a cop pulls around the corner behind you and his lights are on. You're like, do I pull over? No, they always have their lights on if they're on the road. We better not talk too much about living in Japan, though.
I'm really not worried about that.
I'll just leave that there.
So then we're in the greenhouse here. Mm-hmm. And this old couple has a lot of plants. I don't know why, but they do. They just have, they like plants.
It's a grow up.
But they're not growing anything useful, though. These are just regular plants.
I like how you called weed useful.
And they're growing all these plants, and they're and they're infested with slugs. Now, husband here, old man, do you have names for these people?
This guy's name is Harold, and his wife is credited as Jean, although I don't think.
And the ADR on them is really bad.
Oh, it's terrible.
Okay, I've done a little gardening in my time. I've done some a couple summers back. I got pretty into it, and this was before I was working the job I do now, where I don't have time for anything. But I got into gardening a little, and I was growing tomatoes and zucchini and all sorts of berries and eggplant and like a gajillion herbs. And so I did some research and I looked into it. Never came across any need to store acid of any sort in my garden shed. Now, perhaps, as I am kind of still a noob at gardening, perhaps I don't know the you know, inner workings of the chemicals that you need to grow vegetables or household plants. But
well, what happens is that he spills this acid and it eats through. Oh, watch the screen. We're about to get a nice French inhale from this lady. You ready for it?
Yeah, I'm
ready
waiting,
for it.
Waiting.
Ready for it? There it
is.
Oh,
nice.
Lovely. Anyway. So he spills the acid and it eats through a cable that apparently ignites the same acid and causes it to explode a kerosene full of gas or...
Well, I thought her cigarette...
No, she puts out her cigarette here.
Oh, she puts
I thought she did the same thing, but there, she puts out the cigarette.
Oh, you're
right.
She does put out the cigarette. Wow, that could have been so much easier. They just could have had her do, like, the movie thing where she drops the cigarette on the gasoline.
He's giving us a real Evil Dead moment right here where he cuts off his own hand after putting it inside a glove that has a slug in it, apparently. And then their whole greenhouse blows up and we have a beautiful explosion.
Huge.
A huge, amazing explosion. And those people are fucking dead.
They are.
They're dead.
And they were not killed by slugs.
Not at all.
Not even a little bit.
No.
No. I mean, his hand got bit by a slug and so he chopped it off.
So, for the record, no one in the scene was actually killed by slugs.
Yeah, they were killed by, well, I thought they were killed by smoking, but I was incorrect. Apparently, that was too easy. They were killed by improper storage of garden chemicals.
This scene right here is...
Because you keep your acid next to your gasoline.
This scene right here is probably one of the best scenes in the movie.
Oh, yeah. It is the best scene.
First of all, they're talking about the death...
Kim and Mike.
The deaths, Kim and Mike, are talking about the deaths of these old people that we just saw explode gloriously. But the way that people talk about matters of life and death in this movie is like The Room levels of bad. Like, the conversation sounded something like, well, they're dead. Well, that sucks. I kind of liked them. Yep, sure does suck. Yep. I liked them too. All right.
Oh, there was our still.
It reminds me of the...
Our movie still.
Oh, was it? No one got it.
Oh.
Yeah, our movie hint for the week was a shot of the slime on in the
okay,
garden.
Look. He just took the glove from her. She hands... Yeah! And there was the moment. Did you see it? Did
it
you see
great.
The best moment in bad movie history?
That was great.
So he takes the glove from his wife because she's
to
like, oh,
deal with
I
the
saw
slugs,
some slugs.
Right.
And so he takes the glove from her, and instead of putting it on, he just holds it.
He balls it up in his hand and then reaches out with his
with
naked
his bare
finger.
Hand.
Yeah.
And he reaches out, and it's clearly a fake finger, and he reaches out toward the slug, and they've got this great little slug puppet. And the puppet
is great, but the big fake finger is dire.
It's wonderful.
It looks terrible.
It's fantastic. And the little slug goes, "Rawr!"
It actually has a roar.
It does. It goes, "Rawr!" And then it bites him. So please, for my birthday, I have just one wish. And that one wish...
I've already given you your birthday present. It was picking this stupid thing.
That one wish is I want like a 5-minute loop of the slug going, "Rawr!" and biting his finger.
How about I make it into a ringtone so it can be your text alert?
Okay, that's good.
So every time you get a text, it's "Rawr!"
Oh my god.
So it's yeah, he totally balls up the glove in his hand and doesn't use it. I mean, he's an idiot. Actually, we've said this before. Everyone in the movie is mean and or stupid, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've come to understand that the cumulative H, or I want to almost said HP, IQ, the cumulative
HP
is also pretty low.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about intellect, it'd probably be MP or something like
the
that.
The cumulative IQ of all the characters in the movie is probably just shy of a 3-digit number, I would say, probably. But now we're watching another sexually active couple.
Yeah, but she had a cheerleader's jacket on earlier too.
She did. She brought groceries home and she had a cheerleader's jacket on.
And
I'm
wait
a second.
Is she in
she was
high
out
school?
Drinking earlier.
What?
Like she's
no.
a lush. She's supposed to be like
But you know, she's living the good days still, reliving those high school cheerleading.
Yeah, I
days.
Guess so. But she comes home. And the lettuce that she buys is moving around. There's obviously a slug in it. And then she gets a bottle of wine or something like
gets
that.
Gets drunk.
Gets drunk, falls asleep. Her husband, David, comes home and she wakes up and she's like,
oh my God.
Oh, do you remember what she says?
Oh, yeah. She says, oh, shirt.
She says, oh, shirt. Like this is a fucking TBS Superstation censored version or something
I'm
like
pretty,
that.
I'm pretty sure she meant to say shit. But,
I'm sure she did, but it. But,
but
we,
it definitely.
Yes, we listened to it a couple of times and it sounds like she says, oh, shirt. And then she gets up and goes in the kitchen and starts cutting up this lettuce with the slug still inside it and cutting up pieces of the slug.
Yeah, that's a nice little moment right there where we're cutting into the lettuce and you're seeing like the guts of the slug pouring out each time.
It's
super gross. Wonderful. Wonderful.
And then her and her husband get super sweet on each other because, again, aggressively reminded that every married couple has an active sex life in this film.
These directors, they're like, see, married couples have lots of sex. Right, honey? See, look, right? See, lots of sex all the time.
Maybe good old J.P. Simon was trying to create some kind of self-fulfilling prophecy. It's like, look, see, this is a normal couple, honey. You
this
see the movie
normal.
I made? Look,
see,
it's three married couples and they have sex all the time. So,
like constantly
so what
they
do you
have
say?
Sex.
What do you say, huh? What do you say?
Yeah, he comes home and he's like, we've been eating too much red meat lately. And then, oh no, she says that. And then he's like, I got to keep up my strength.
The married couples in this movie are hornier than the fucking teenagers.
They are. No, they absolutely are because the teenage boy, Bobby or whatever his name is, the jerk who
Danny?
Has the, no, the blonde jerk.
Oh, Bobby. Yeah, that's Bobby.
Yeah, Bobby. Yeah, he's the one who has the sex moment with Donna, his girlfriend.
Sex moment? It's called a sex scene, sweetheart.
The girl who... It's the only sex scene we actually see in the movie, even though...
There's this part in the movie. I like to call it a fuck time. There's not an official name for what happens when two characters engage in coitus on screen. I'm going to call it a fuck time. So... during this fuck time. Go ahead.
So it's the only sex moment that we that we see.
Keep it up. Keep it up.
And he, you know, this is the girlfriend who's been like she was licking his face in this little coffee shop or wherever everybody was eating lunch on their very long break during the middle of a high school day that takes place in the afternoon if you look at the sun during that time.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, though, he comes over to her house to clearly have sex, and all he cares about is drinking.
Yes.
And it's just like, man, dude, what?
We haven't
like
seen that
half
yet, have
naked.
We?
No, it's about to happen. But anyways, yeah, so the married couples are hornier than the horny teenage couple in this movie.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And this scene right here is just... confounding. It blows my mind. The line that she opens the scene with, I think it's the first line. She comes down, sits next to her husband, and she says, I'm sorry for being a bitch so much of the time. Where the fuck did that come from? And what's this movie's obsession with calling
every
female character
single
a bitch?
One. If she has a name,
almost,
if she's cast like
not,
with a
it's
name.
It's not quite everyone, but almost every female character is referred to as a bitch at some point. I think it's at least half.
Oh, it's more than
at least half of the named female characters.
What female characters are not called a bitch?
Maria's not called a bitch.
Which one's Maria?
Don's wife.
Okay.
Florence isn't
called
a bitch.
Yeah, but you know
Florence
Fortune that Kim was thinking it, though.
Yeah, probably.
When she was like, oh, my children call you the wicked bitch of the North. She was like, well, I'm
let's do this. More than half of the named female characters in this movie are either called a bitch or totally act like a bitch.
Ah, okay.
So... it's still the same thing, right? Like you're framing these characters in these ways. But let's not analyze this too deeply. Yes, Bobby.
And what are her parents doing? They are old. They,
yes,
are very old.
They're very, very
and
old.
And I thought they were, like, she was living with grandma and grandpa, but mm-hmm. no. That's her parents.
I have a feeling they didn't actually audition for that very small part of two people walk into the car. It's just somebody's Mimi and Pop-Pop that they got on set.
Mimi and Pop-Pop.
They're like, does anybody have a spare Mimi and Pop-Pop to walk out to the car? Any Mimis and Pop-Pops?
Mimi, Pop-Pop.
We got a Pop-Pop. We need a Mimi. Where's the Mimi?
And so these old people stumble out to the car and drive away, and it's late because David and his wife were just talking and about her being a bitch most of the time, and she was like, it's late, you need to come to bed, and I'm like, it's late,
and he's like, no, I gotta finish the work on this shopping center deal. Yeah, the paper, gotta do these papers for the shopping center deal, because I mean the stakes can't get much higher than a shopping center deal. Jesus.
Yeah, it's pretty important stuff. And so, whatever. So, it's late, but Mimi and Pop-Pop are, they're leaving to go do something in the middle of the night. I mean, I'm not even 30 yet, and if I have to leave the house after, like, 8 o'clock, I am irate.
Yeah, so check this out. He is the third drunk in this movie. He is the third drunk, and two of the three drunks in this movie totally bite it. One of them kind of disappears halfway through the movie, and that's
Maureen, is that her name?
Maureen disappears halfway through the movie.
Yeah, she disappears. I don't think we see her again.
We see her one more time, I think.
Okay, but she's not a drunk anymore, as we'll see in the next scene.
No, because once she recognizes that she's a bitch so much of the time, then
she's like, I'm going to stop drinking so much.
She dies, or she doesn't die. Her husband dies after we see her for the last time, which is crazy to me. Like, where's the reaction moment? Where's the moment where...
And we had scenes alone with her. We haven't had scenes alone with David yet.
No, we haven't.
But we've had scenes alone with her, leading us as viewers to believe that we are closer to this character than we are to David.
Right. This scene fucking sucks.
Yes.
I hate this.
This is the moment in Slugs the movie where I'm a little bit disappointed and... the integrity of the filmmakers.
So this is a lot like a scene in... I am being serious. This is a lot like a scene, the snake killing scene in Friday the 13th.
Because this is a real slug.
Yeah. Oh my God. I can't believe they did that. So yeah, a lot like the snake killing scene in the first Friday the 13th film. This is definitely, to me, it is the most disturbing moment in the movie because this character, John, who is the high school science teacher, just... nondescript science teacher.
I mean, we have to assume he's the high school science teacher because it's Kim's friend and she's a high school teacher. And he has signs all over the wall that say things about, like, school safety and stuff.
But he just killed a slug for real.
Yeah.
He just killed a slug for real.
Which, if this was real life when we were doing real science on a slug, then fine, we kill a real slug for real. But this is not real life. This is a movie.
Yes, exactly.
And we killed a real slug for real. And that makes me kind of squeamish. That's why I can't watch, I've seen
Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of it in clips, and I love all horror movies, but that being said, my least favorite of the genres is torture porn, and when torture porn goes to the extent of doing things like mutilating real animals
and stuff,
that's just fucking unforgivable.
It's ridiculous.
So movies
used to be fucked up. Movies used to be real fucked up.
I mean, they're still fucked up, but at least now they've got people riding their ass all the time, so they can't get away with that kind of thing anymore.
Yeah.
This is like a full-on sex scene. Sex moment. I'm sorry. Let me say it correctly.
It's called a fuck time. I believe we've established.
Oh, let me just stop having sex because I've got to drink some more alcohol. And he says, I got to recharge my batteries. And I'm like, doing it the wrong way.
I hate to break it to you, Bobby, but a swig of Jack is not going to recharge your cock batteries. Not going to do it.
Oh, my God. This is an amazing moment in this movie.
So the blood...
So much happens so fast.
So the blood in this movie is really great, but I really like the blood that, like, comes out of his foot in that moment when he pulls the slug off. It reminds me of, like, old Cronenberg stuff, you know? It's really, like, super viscous, which it should be. because the original title being what it is. But it reminds me of blood that comes out of like an infection, like a skin infection, where it's really thick and like mixed with light colored pus. So
it's like slowly,
it's almost pink. Like it's not even like bright red. It's like a lighter red. I don't know. That's even grosser to
it
me.
It is grosser.
And when they can emulate that on screen, it's super fucking awesome.
Oh, so wonderful.
Yeah, this is great. This is the shit that you watch.
This is why you
watch
this movie.
She steps off the bed and slips, and there's just the floor
is covered
in slugs.
This is when I'm talking about the slugs being so fast, like the slugs are super fast, is because how long have they been in here having sex? It couldn't have been that long. I mean, he has been drinking a bottle of Jack, so
that's true.
Poor girl. but they've been in here having sex, and there were no slugs, presumably, when they went into the bedroom to start having sex. Even if these teenagers, even if we're giving them a lot of credit and they had sex for like an hour or something like that.
It's a lot of credit.
But even
why
if,
you say God, you're like, oh, that sounds exhausting.
That sounds exhausting.
Fuck that.
And so they, even if they were having sex for a really long time, that's still the slugs that we had not seen in this house at all before filled the room. They filled the entire floor of the room.
Yeah.
Hundreds, probably thousands of these slugs filled this room.
Yeah.
And then the best part is that when he gets bit by one, she doesn't look to see
You're
what
asking
bit
for logic where there is none.
Before she dives off the bed into sea of slugs, her rolling around with the slugs all over her naked body, though, it's just wonderful.
Moving on, I like how movies used to have just casual smokers in them. We just saw a scene where Mike is putting together the deaths with the presence of the slugs, and he's thinking it over. It's a real contemplative moment, and he's smoking a cigarette. I think it's the only time in the entire movie that we see Mike smoking a cigarette.
I think that's true.
But that labels him as a smoker to me. Like, he's a smoker of cigarettes. If you smoke a cigarette in a movie, then you are a character who smokes cigarettes. But he only does it once, and that's a thing
we
that
didn't even see him doing it when he was out drinking.
Yeah, I don't think movies do that anymore. I think if there's a character in a movie that's a smoker, you see them smoking throughout the movie.
Is this Papa and
Pop,
Mimi?
Pop, Mimi and Pop Pop.
Carrying their dead daughter out the door?
I think so. They're the oldest EMTs I've ever seen in my life.
Pep, pep, pop, pop.
And here's another fucking moment where Sheriff Reese is just busting his Deputy Dobbs' balls for no reason. He asks him a question and Dobbs is like, sure. And he's like, are you sure you're sure? Don't open your damn mouth. You ain't sure that you're sure. I'm
he's like, no, I'm sure you're sure.
Oh, God. It's fucking insufferable. It's ridiculous. Yeah, well, he doesn't really have a Southern accent, but he should. I'm going to stick my foot up your butt so far I need a tow truck. Pull it out. Yes, sir.
Okay, here's what's really interesting about this scene. What's really interesting is that I'm pretty sure this scene lets us know the slugs are sentient.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because...
like self-aware?
Yeah, because they're self-aware that they have, like... the capability of, you know, problem solving and foresight, because they knew the police would come after them, and so they left this room with the bodies in it.
Yeah.
So that's
so they're aware.
Important information.
They don't want to get arrested.
The slugs don't want to get arrested.
They don't want to get those tiny, tiny handcuffs.
Oh, that'd be so cute.
What would you put them on? Their little antennas?
Yeah.
Put the tiny handcuffs on their antennas. Anyway, yeah. So look at this sign, Ashton Sanitation Department. That is the shittiest sign for any kind of public office that I've ever seen. And it does nothing to convince me that this does not take place in Lyons, New York. In fact, there's a shot earlier of the front of Kim's school. And on the front of the school and on the buses driving in front of it, it says Lyons Central School. They're not even good at hiding it.
Did you know that sanitation supervisor was just a college-educated way of saying crawl around in the sewers or something like that?
Well, he makes a quarter of what he did when he was working as a plumber. Hurt, hurt, hurt.
Can we please talk about the high school science teacher, because we haven't talked
about
him.
We can talk about him in a minute, but I just want to point out that we need to say goodbye to Maureen, because that five-second scene that we just saw was the last moment that we see her in. Let's analyze her character arc.
Drunk.
She was drunk.
Then drunk again.
Then drunk again.
Then realizing that her husband was coming home when she was drunk, cooking dinner and having sex with husband.
And then apologized for being bitch.
Yes, and addressed some relationship problems that I guess they had.
Maybe. And then morning in the kitchen where everything seems to be fine.
Happy.
And she's happy and they're happy.
And not drunk. She's not drunk.
And then her husband's going to go off and die and that's it. But yeah, let's talk about the high school science, high school white coat, just generic white coat. First of all, he's British.
Yes, he is. Also, all high school science teachers spend their free time doing experiments in laboratories.
They're always in there. This is another trope, and this is something that I want our listeners to write in about. There is a trope in movies, I think, and the two that I can think of is this one, because it's right in front of me.
And Gremlins.
And Gremlins is that you've got these small town monster movies, small town horror movies, where you need someone to deliver exposition or an explanation of what exactly is going on so that we can move the story forward or move toward a goal or a solution to the problem.
Because
of some kind.
Clearly the next step would be bringing this monster to someone educated.
Exactly. And the most educated person or the most scientific mind in a small town is the, you know, local public school science teacher. So that's a trope that pops up in these kinds of movies. So if you can think of another movie that has an example of the most scientific mind in a town being the high school chemistry teacher or whatever, shoot us an email at thepopcornpoops@gmail.com, because we want to hear about that.
The idea of the way I relate this to my life, like when I try and think about it from real world terms, and I'm thinking of high school science teachers spending all their free time doing laboratory experiments, that's like presuming that high school English teachers spend all their free time going through special documents archives and researching papers for literary conferences.
Yeah.
Guess what? That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And so anyways, though, we talked over the whole scene, but by the way, this is David.
Do you want to know the name of the guy who plays John, the science teacher guy?
Yeah, sure.
So he's supposed to be a British guy, and all of his lines are dubbed over. The actor's name is Santiago Álvarez.
Oh, my.
No shit.
That is not a British man.
Nope. Not even a little bit.
Anyway, so poor David right now is having severe headaches and now has spontaneous nose bleeding. I would go to the ER at this point. Just a thought, you know.
I mean, yeah, I would. There's a moment coming up here in a second when he takes a drink of his tasty beverage
This is.
And the blood that pours out of his nose into the glass, it's such an amazing shot.
I want to talk about the science teacher, but I can't miss this moment here. Oh, it's great. Look at that. Look at that. Beautiful. And then his head is going to, oh, God. Yeah, this is great. This is why I watch these movies.
Of course he has to take the tablecloth with him.
Of course. And he's like trying to pull off his face. Oh, is that Pam? Was that Pam? Was she a waitress in this Italian restaurant?
No, she's not a waitress.
I thought I saw Pam.
That's somebody's Mimi.
No, I thought it was Pam. It looked like Pam.
I don't think it's Pam. I don't think so.
Yeah, and his head just exploded with worms. Don't worry. We're going to explain the worms. You thought this movie was just trying to trick you, trying to make you think that, you know, before slugs are slugs, they're baby worms. But the movie actually has an explanation for the worms.
It does explain it. It does actually explain
it. So come on, give it some credit.
Although they are the biggest blood parasites that I've ever fucking seen, ever. Like, they're bigger than your veins. I don't understand how that's possible.
So when Cam and Mike run to the science teacher's lab, to go show him the slugs, they run in dramatically, and they're like,
music,
"Oh my god!"
Music is all like dun 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 dun,
and they run in, and then they politely and calmly ask him if he'll look at these slugs that they found,
which is really hilarious because they run in there knowing that they've found something crazy, and then what he does is explain to them what a slug is.
Yes, he does,
and they're just like, "Oh, okay, bye."
And like everything he says is true.
Oh my god, this scene right here. This scene where Sheriff Reese is confronting the Italian restaurant owner and the chef of the restaurant, and the chef is like really angry. He takes it as a personal offense. I don't speak Italian, but I am pretty sure that the chef was saying something like Reese's mother has more worms in her vagina or something like that.
I thought we determined it was like in her kitchen, not her vagina.
I don't know. I'm not sure. But the way he, I don't know, with the gestures, and he says it half in English and then he switches to Italian and he's really angry. I don't know. It sounds like he's saying something really terrible.
He's definitely talking about the sheriff's mom.
Italian speaking listeners, please write in and let us know what the fuck the chef is saying, because it might be amazing, hilarious gold.
It probably is. So all the stuff the science teacher says about slugs is totally true. You can put a slug on a razor blade and the slime can keep it from ever actually touching the metal.
I don't think that Mike and Kim give a fuck about regular slug facts.
And probably the reason why they put that line in there is that was a line from Apocalypse Now.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, which was in 79, so before.
Oh, okay.
Before this
That's
movie,
cool.
But they talk about slugs on razor blades and that. So like the concept was already in the public's mind's eye. Slugs do really have teeth, kind of. They have teeth on their tongues or something like that. Rodula?
Sure. Nailed it.
And then they're freaking out, and he's like, "Yeah, it's a slug." And they're like, "Can the slugs eat meat?"
What?
And he's like, "Well, I mean, some slugs can eat meat. Some slugs do." And actually, he's right. Some slugs are carnivorous, but guess what?
They're cannibalistic.
This is important information.
Oh shit! What?
I figured out this movie.
Oh, did you? Did you unlock the secrets of Slugs the movie?
Where is the science professor, science teacher, supposed to be from? I know we determined he's Spanish, but
England.
He's supposed to be from England. Guess where the only carnivorous slugs in the world are from? Well, maybe not in the whole world, but they're definitely not from America, and they definitely can be from England.
What?
Yeah.
That's why he's the foremost expert on this topic, I guess.
So my theory...
Good thing he's in their sleepy little town teaching science to high schoolers, shit-nosed high schoolers.
This science teacher brought the carnivorous slugs to America, and he's just helping the Americans so that they don't get suspicious of him. Unless the slugs know that we know that the only carnivorous slugs are from the UK, and that we're betting that we'd put blame on the British guy so they could draw attention away from the real source of the origin of their origin.
This scene is just so the scene where the lettuce farmer is dead is just so we know how a slug ended up in the lettuce.
Yeah, that's the entire reason for this scene.
Because it does have a nice little blood geyser going on there.
Yeah, it did. But I really was concerned the whole time. I was like, oh my God, how did a slug get into that lettuce? I really have to know.
What is this movie? What is the thing about this movie that causes all of the characters to die in orphan dogs?
That's true.
That's the second one in the film.
That is a true fact.
Is it the saddest thing that good old Simon, J.P. Simon, could think of?
No, the saddest thing was the slug attacking the hamster. And the saddest part about
the slug... No, the saddest part is the real slug that gets sliced up.
Yes, that is true. But the hamster part makes me really anxious because we just saw a real slug get sliced up. So I'm kind of like, is this hamster okay? Is he doing okay after this
scene?
Yeah,
I think he's probably fine. I think they just put a big, heavy slug prop
on him. And he's like rolling around. He's like, what's this thing on my back? Please take it off. I just want to go put some sunflowers in my mouth.
I think
that
was a teddy bear hamster. A lot like we had a teddy bear hamster before. He was really great.
What was his name?
Terrence.
That wasn't his full name.
Senator Terrence.
Senator F.W.
Oh, Fuzzy Wuzzy Terrence. Senator Senator Fuzzy Wuzzy Terrence or Senator F.W. Terrence.
Right.
Now that everyone knows how fucking stupid we are.
It took him many years to climb the political ladder to his success.
Jesus.
He was the best hamster
We didn't talk about it when it came up, but Mike says to the sheriff, Mike is the first one to put it together that the slugs are killing people, and he says it to the, why are you laughing? I just look over at you and you're just holding back. I don't understand. Anyway, Mike is the first one to figure out that it's slugs that are killing people, so he tells the sheriff that slugs are killing people, and then in the next couple of scenes, Don corroborates everything that he's been saying and, like, explains that the slugs are coming from this place that used to be a toxic waste facility until they were toxic waste dump until they filled it in.
I love the music right there where she's like, he's like, you've got to calm down. And she's like, how am I going to do that? Dun, 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 dun. Like, that was an important moment.
Anyway, Don is corroborating everything that Mike is saying, but suddenly, even though Mike is the one who was trying to convince Sheriff Reese that all this is going on, Don's like, oh yeah, yeah, and he's like laughing it off. He's super incredulous about it.
No, Mike's the one who's incredulous.
Right, Mike is the one who's incredulous at what Don's saying to him, even though Mike is the one who figured it out before and tried to tell Sheriff Reese about it.
Yeah, but you were saying Don was incredulous.
I mixed it up then. It was Don who was talking to Mike. Mike was incredulous and laughing at the shit that he was saying. The kind of shit he says is like, Don will be like, and this is where old man Ron Bell's house was. And he's like, yes, so?
Yeah.
So what?
So what?
Fuck.
So yeah. Who cares? It's like, dude, you came. You just
are you ready?
You just told the sheriff that.
Are you ready for the best line in the movie?
Oh, we are about to get the best line in the whole movie.
This. Oh, there it was. You ain't got the authority to declare happy birthday. Oh, that shit is too gold. That's like Troll 2 level of gold.
Yeah.
Where what is it? He says. He says. You can't piss on hospitality. I won't allow it. You ain't got the authority to declare happy birthday. That shit's amazing. It's a great line.
Oh, we also missed the part where Mike's wife was like, he was like, they're just eating this. I guess he was talking about slug pellets. And he was like, they're just eating it like candy. And she's like, why don't you try some salt? And he's like, I didn't think of that.
I think he's supposed to be sarcastic in that moment.
Oh, I don't think so.
I think he is. I think he just can't do it.
What do you mean he just can't do it?
I don't think that he can pull off sarcasm in his performance.
Oh.
I think, like, because that never comes around again. I think that's a much more clever thing. Instead of doing what they eventually do, which is introducing what they call a lithium-based arsenic. Into the sewer system?
Into the town's water supply.
Yeah, into the town's water supply.
We've seen
the
these slugs
system.
Coming out of their taps.
Right, which means that if they can get into the water supply, then so can that arsenic that you're about to introduce into the sewer system. But, I mean, I think a much more clever ending.
Oh, we just drove somewhere, so we got that really dramatic music again.
A much more clever solution to the problem in this movie would be like to flush the sewers out with salt water, right? Because it's like the classic idea of slugs. And if you want to be scientific about it, then we got to heat up the water first so that we can super saturate it with salt. Because as you know, a heated liquid can become more saturated than a cool liquid, whatever, you know? Do something. Make John useful in the plot, right? I mean, he is. He is pretty useful. But again, he introduces the idea of putting fucking arsenic in the sewers.
I'm telling you, he's the mastermind behind this whole plot.
I mean, he might. I guess he might be.
The slugs just want us to think that.
He did kill a real slug, so he's definitely the most sinister presence in the entire movie.
I was trying
to be
really Ghost in the Shell about this earlier, and you just totally, missed it.
Was I ignoring you?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
It's fine.
Let's move on. We also missed the moment when John tells Don and Mike about what the parasites are. Mm-hmm. You talked about it a little bit. But he also mentions that they are hermaphrodites.
Ah, yes.
And Don's reaction is, hermaphro what?
We both had a joke for this.
We did. Go ahead.
You want me to go first?
Yeah,
and
go
then
ahead.
You'll go with
no,
your
you. No, you do it.
So mine was...
He says it as though he's saying...
As though he's saying, Hermaphra, what? You just say these slugs are gays?
Is that some kind of gay thing? Is that some kind of liberal?
Your joke was the liberal one. That was yours.
Thank you.
Actually, thank slugs are hermaphrodites, by the way. I looked it up. The internet says so.
They are, which is why at the end of the movie it's so sinister that we see one remaining slug left. After they kill all the slugs, there is one slug remaining, except for all of the slugs that are inside buildings or mm-hmm. all of the slugs that were in the lake at the mm-hmm. beginning of the movie.
Yes, that's true. We didn't see the lake explode.
No, we didn't. That would have been something.
A slug can live up to 6 years, and in that lifetime, it can produce 90,000 offspring.
Wow. They stay busy.
A slug can also stretch up to 20 times its natural length.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you have these slug facts?
Because I was researching for Slugs the movie.
Okay. Alrighty then. Yeah, in this scene here, we've got the two business people that David was meeting with when he died horribly. They're at the mayor's office. And they're finishing the deal that David started. And I guess I wasn't really clear on what David's job was. I thought he was some kind of like businessman in retail construction or land development or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if his work goes to the mayor once he dies, then I guess he was just a city worker, right?
Yeah.
That's weird. They also list the deaths in the scene where they're like, oh, and then, you know, you've got the Moss Girl and then old Ron Bell, he died. And they mention everyone who died except for Bobby and the farmer, which I guess they're just not worth mentioning.
Yeah, you know, well, only certain characters' deaths matter. Also, the whole blood fluke thing where they were talking about the parasites that are inside the slugs.
Yeah.
Here's some more slug facts for you. The slugs can carry parasites, like blood parasites, as slugs and snails can. And one of the ways that those parasites can get into humans, can infect humans, is by eating poorly cooked escargot.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So they were in an Italian restaurant, but there were like Asian fans on the wall, so we can guess that, you know, they're probably like,
it's fusion.
This is the one like not American restaurant in the town, so they probably right. are mixing food styles here. So
yeah, it's fusion cuisine,
right? So maybe they have escargot, and maybe good old Mike wasn't so far off base when he was talking about food poisoning being the reason for David's demise.
We do actually get to see him kind of doing his job in this movie, because Mike is the health inspector for the town.
Isn't that the most boring premise for like
it is. Like the central characters in this movie, all of the central characters in this movie, I mean, it's basically the whole movie functions off of municipal hierarchy and the municipal like local government inner workings and shit like that. How the sanitation department and the water supply department
uh-huh.
and the health inspector and the sheriff and the mayor, how they all work together to try to fix this problem. And, you know, some people are more cagey than others and less and more resistant to helping the main characters and whatever. But they're all like doing their jobs.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's the thing, is that this movie is not about a bunch of people that don't have jobs. Everyone's doing their actual job throughout this entire movie to try to solve these problems, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's true.
But also, when you think about what their jobs are, you're like, oh, that's boring as shit.
I would like to see a horror movie that's just about a health inspector, though, like going about and just finding, you know, like it doesn't even have to be a supernatural horror movie in any way, shape, or form. Just what he actually sees every day when he has to shut down the restaurants that you eat at.
That would be pretty scary.
It would be.
I'm sure there's a reality show of that, I'm sure.
And I don't want to watch it. I lied. Oh, hey, Mike, by the way, here's my sons. They regularly refer to your wife as a bitch. Nice to see you.
And that's
nice to see you, Mr. Brady.
That's so funny, because we do get introduced to that concept in like the second scene of the movie or something. And Mike shows up to meet with Don. And Don's playing with his kids, Rick and Danny, who Maria admitted to Kim and Mike that they call her a bitch. Like, to her
face.
Like,
that's how she introduced herself. She was like, hi, my kids call you a bitch.
Exactly. Okay. If I had a best friend whose kids called you a bitch, I would have a couple of words and maybe a face punch or two for...
You'd punch a kid?
Nah, I probably wouldn't punch a kid. But those fucking snot-nosed cretins need to have something said to them. Hey, I'm Mike. Here you call my wife a bitch. Let's talk about that.
Let's toss that pigskin around a little more. Have a little chat.
I'm going to shove that pigskin so far up your ass you need a tow truck. Pull it out. So, those are the first teenagers that we've seen in this movie in feels like hours.
Oh, by the way, if you
forgot. I almost
forgot
there were teenagers in this shitty horror
movie. If you forgot, there's a Halloween party coming up.
Oh, that's right.
This takes place at Halloween.
That was mentioned in a throwaway line.
Yes, it was a long time ago. Yeah. And you probably forgot about it. They tried to remind you at the Italian restaurant when they put a little teeny tiny pumpkin on the table with a jack-o'-lantern face.
Oh, did they? I didn't even see that.
Yeah, it was real small. But you probably didn't remember then either. I didn't. But then the kids just said they were going to a Halloween party, and the dad was like, what Halloween party? And I was like, yeah, that's what we're all saying right now is what Halloween party?
Earlier in this scene, Don walks in with Mike, and then Maria comes out of the kitchen, and Don acts really, like, taken aback when Maria opens the door to say hi, like he didn't know she was in the house or something, and him and Mike just got caught playing a friendly game of dick suck or something. I'm not sure. But she opens the door, and she's like, Mike's here, so, sorry, this is awkward. Zip.
So, also, we missed one of those kind of meta lines that all good horror movies have, where Mike was suspecting food poisoning in the Italian restaurant after David's head exploded, and such a beautiful scene. And this was right before the hermaphro what line. And one of them, I don't remember which one said it, Mike or Don, but one of them goes, oh God, there's no end to this thing. And I'm like, yeah, we're only halfway through this movie.
That's true. That's true. There's no end in sight.
True fact. I have no idea where you're going.
This movie's not that long. We're about an hour and 5 minutes into this. We got about 25 minutes left.
It's
an hour and a half. 90 minutes, fine. It's fine.
But you fell asleep the first time we ever watched it.
I did.
Remember.
It was late, though. It was late. And this is a shitty movie. So.
I stayed up and enjoyed it to the bloody end.
So, anyway. So, Mike's...
By the way, his house is huge for a health inspector.
Yeah, is it? I feel like there was somebody else in this movie who had... Oh, it's the mayor. For such a small town,
man,
the mayor has a bitchin' office.
Yeah.
It's like a library and like a regular office, and it's got a private bathroom that has a secret door.
And didn't they say that right as he was like, this town has no secrets, and then he opens the secret door?
This town has no secrets, except for my secret bathroom.
And you're just like, what? I think that was intentional, Dustin.
Oh, was it a joke?
Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't a joke. I think that was, you know, discussing the underlying reality.
Oh, no. I'm just going to scream into this mic until you stop talking like that. Mike was searching the house for his wife, and he found a bunch of slugs in the basement. And then she arrives and talks about Maureen, and then we're reminded of Maureen, which is to be reminded of an ostensibly emotionally devastated character who just lost her husband that we haven't seen since before her husband died like a million scenes ago. She's gone from this movie. She gets a little mention and that's it. What is up with that? I feel there's so many threads in this movie. The teenager thread is one that goes nowhere.
Nowhere.
It goes absolutely nowhere. The teenagers from the school,
they have
their
party. I mean, does anybody's thread go anywhere, though? I guess Mike's. Don's.
Yeah, I mean, there is an arc to the movie, and characters sort of have arcs, kind of. There's definitely like a narrative arc. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end to this, and there's a solution.
Man, this lab.
To the problem. I know.
Where? Do you know how much that beaker probably cost?
Yeah. What high school is this? Walter White didn't have equipment that good.
No, this looked like the meth lab that he was working in toward the end of the show.
I know, the really swanky one, right?
Jeez.
Anyway.
Well, maybe that's what what's his face is into, John or Bob or Bobby or Daryl or Don or Wayne or whatever his average Joe name is. That's definitely not Spanish.
The teacher?
Yeah.
You mean Santiago?
Yes.
We should have been calling him Santiago this whole time.
Oh, this is the most disappointing scene in the entire movie.
It totally is, because they mention the Halloween party, and you expect it to be like a house party where everyone's dressed up. And then you've got this crane shot into this circle of cars where people are just standing around drinking, and there are a couple of jack-o'-lanterns just sitting on the hood of the cars, and they're like, oh, Halloween party, I guess.
This is the worst Halloween party that I've ever seen in my entire
life. Yeah, it's
life.
Fucking terrible.
It's bullshit. I'm just saying it right now. As lifelong Halloween party throwers.
Oh, yeah. Every year. Every year we do it.
I am utterly outraged by this lack of effort and creativity.
Not impressed.
It takes us so much time to decorate and prepare for our parties. I'm cooking chocolate fudge mice and Butterfinger eyeballs days in advance. These kids are just, it's shameful.
They give no fucks.
So disappointing.
There are no fucks to be given. And also, Pam will not be giving out any fucks later.
And even when it comes to, you know, just like outdoor partying, I went to college in Podunk Nowhere, Tennessee, and we would have outdoor parties. That's what generally parties were at my college, is drive out into the middle of nowhere where someone owns some property, or someone's peepaw or meemaw or mimi.
Mimi and pop.
And, you know, you all drive up there and everybody's got their trucks and you drink Hunch Punch out of a cooler. But I mean, even our parties were better than that.
Such a mistake. Hunch Punch is always a mistake.
I love when you do it just right, then you have like half fruit that's been soaking overnight in the alcohol, and then half that hasn't been.
Mm-hmm.
So that you never know if you're about to get a fruit shot or not when you bite into a pineapple or something.
This actress that plays I'm sorry.
Have some pizza. Try some. You'll like it. Is it drug pizza?
Pam kind of looks like a proto Jennifer Lawrence to me. I don't know. She's got a J-Law face. She's arguing with, I guess it's her boyfriend Danny, that she doesn't want to be at the party, and she said she didn't want to be at the party before because it's established that she's a good girl that wants to study and work hard at school, so she's also got to be a prude.
Well, she's got to study for her midterm, because you know how those high school courses are.
Yes.
With midterms.
Exactly, where you get assigned one act of Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about the Wicked Bitch of the North's horrible homework assignment.
Her horrible homework is one act
of R&J.
That's like 15 minutes of work.
You can read.
And therein is the challenge.
That is the quandary here.
That is it. So, anyway.
Anyway, so Pam just had pizza shoved in her face.
She did. She's like, I want to go home. I don't like this. And another character who comes up,
the
mullet guy who's putting on this scary mask right now.
He's about to try and rape her.
He's going to try to rape her. He comes up with a piece of pizza and tries to force feed it to Pam. He's like, hey, baby, have some pizza. It'll make you feel better.
And it's like, I mean, this is drug pizza, right? That was my only thought.
It's got to be.
Why are we
pizza.
Pressuring her so hard to eat the pizza?
It's definitely drug pizza.
This is the first person in the movie, by the way. Pam is the first person in the movie to not want to have sex.
Right, because she's a good girl. So she has to be that archetype as well. Like, that's
but she, the thing about it, though, is that, and also her punishment for not wanting to have sex with her boyfriend, is that she gets almost raped by the guy who shoved pizza in her throat and then gets eaten by slugs.
That's right. And the punishment for the antithesis to her, Donna, was that she had promiscuous sex with her boyfriend, Bobby, the drunk.
And then got eaten by slugs.
And then got eaten by slugs.
So sex in all forms.
If you have sex, you're fucked.
Premarital sex kills you.
No pun intended.
Premarital sex kills you.
Actually, premarital sex kills you. Refusing premarital sex kills you. The only thing that doesn't seem to kill you is, I don't know.
No, marital sex kills
marital
you.
Marital sex also kills you.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
About half and half. Because Kim and Mike don't die.
So, here's the attempted rape scene, which is just real unpleasant in a movie that's
so random.
Yeah.
It's so random.
I don't know.
She's not going to have sex with her boyfriend, so we got to have a way in here to get her to have sex with somebody.
They never say the name of the attempted rapist, the guy with the kind of greasy mullet. But I was looking through through the cast and the character names. And one of the characters' names, I don't remember who it's supposed to be in the movie, because again, he's never named. But there's someone in this movie named Dino. So I'm gonna assume.
You're gonna go with Dino?
I'm going to assume that the greasy mullet pompadour guy that tries to rape Pam
is Dino.
Is Dino?
Yeah.
He looks like a Dino.
It's a good assumption.
Apologies to anyone named Dino out there, but
are people actually named Dino?
Yeah, some people are. I think it's an Italian name or it's really? A Latin name of some kind. Yeah. Well, there's Dino De Laurentiis, who is a super famous.
Are you really
producer.
Giving me? You are.
And there's Dino, who was a famous. I think he was a famous like That's gospel ridiculous. Piano player. Uh-huh. I think he died though.
This is why you can't remember the difference between zucchini and cucumbers is because you have all this other
because I have all these dinos in my head
information in your head.
Hey, I know the difference between zucchinis and cucumbers. Zucchinis have them those little things on top, the little hats. You got the little zucchini hat. So yeah, where are we? What's going on in this movie?
Nothing at all.
Danny came back after being refused. So this was the. A weird bit of like cutting that I don't really understand, but before Pam was saying, I don't want to be here, I don't want to be here, Dino walks up, shoves pizza in her face, and she's like, I want to go home, and then she walks away with Danny. There's another scene. We come back, and instead of them leaving, Danny is like trying to get into her pants, like behind the outhouse or something like that, and then she refuses and runs off into the woods, and Danny comes back to his friends and his brother Ricky, and he's like, oh, fucking Pam is being bitch, and he calls her a bitch.
Yes, he does.
He calls her a bitch because what else do you call women in this movie, I guess, right?
You know, their name or bitch.
So his little brother Ricky, I guess, goes after her, and this is... after or concurrently with Dino trying to pursue and rape her with a skeleton mask on?
So some of the things I didn't get to mention were things like when we realized that Mike hadn't told his wife that David had died.
Oh, here's Ricky. This is Ricky looking for Pam.
Do we ever find out what happens to him?
No! No, we don't. Like I said, the teenager plot line
this
goes
is it, isn't it?
Nowhere.
He's going to walk around and say, Pam, where are you, Pam? And then that's
it. And we see her dead in the sewer.
And that's it. And then we never see what happens to Ricky.
And there she is. She's dead.
Yes, she is. Where'd all the water go? Did the slugs eat it?
I guess.
Anyway, so what was I saying? So Mike didn't tell his wife that David had died, apparently, because he explains he didn't want to scare her. And I was just like, it's okay. She probably would have just gone, what? Really? I liked him.
He was a good man. And wow, that sucks. Gee.
And I liked him.
The test came back. I've definitely got cancer. It's the same thing.
Oh, Mom. No, you don't.
Oh, man. God.
There's another Tommy Wiseau thing going on in here.
What?
It's like the maturity level of Tommy Wiseau, the way that they like counter each other.
Oh, ball busting. Yeah, the ball
right,
busting.
Right, but
is...
but sometimes when they ball bust, like the only counter the other person has is just to like mock them with the baby voice.
Oh yeah.
It's like we cheap, started
cheap,
watching
cheap,
the
cheap,
room.
Cheap, cheap, cheap.
So the stuff that they're using, not right now, but the stuff that they were planning to use, the arsenic stuff, apparently when it comes in contact with water, it explodes. So they've decided to bring it into the sewers.
Which is characterized by moist.
Water?
Mostly moist things.
And Don is like, you're crazy, Mike. And he doesn't say it, but he's kind of got like that lingering look of, but just crazy enough. And they're going to do it. They're going to explode the whole town. That's what they're going to do now. Also, they just used electricity. They just electrocuted some slugs. I don't remember how they got electricity.
Yeah, well, no, there was a cable. And what he did was he took a blowtorch and he burned the cable until... it came loose. And
why
then,
are there cables down in the sewers?
Well, I'm sure it was to something fucking important.
Also true.
But he's just like, fuckers, burn it and we'll...
No, whatever.
I mean, they're down here to kill
This is just the line that connects the hospital to its power system.
They're down here to kill the slugs anyway. So they find a bunch of slugs and decide to kill them a different way, even though, like, the ultimate, if they succeed in their ultimate goal, then there's no need for them to destroy this power line and kill just, you know, a random grouping of slugs.
If I don't understand why they have to walk through the sewers, because isn't science teacher gonna just drop it down the manhole anyway? So, like, they already know where they would be dropping the stuff as it is?
No, they're trying to find a point at which they can use the bait and draw all of the slugs into one place.
Right, but the science teacher is already waiting in that place for them.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's where he's going to be when he drops the stuff.
I don't think there was any access. I don't think they had any access down there, maybe. I'm not sure.
There's a huge manhole. Remember, he's going to try with his pickaxe
to open the manhole. It doesn't make sense. It's a bad movie. I don't know what to tell you. It's a bad movie.
Anyways, though, so when they're electrocuting the slugs, I'm just like, it's good that electricity only travels through water that you're not standing in.
They've got rubber boots on.
Okay.
So that's fine. Science. It's science. Fine. It's just no big deal.
Also, I love that sometimes they can walk over slugs and it not be a problem, like right now. Like, there are all these slugs on the floor right now, and they're just like, we don't have a choice. We've got to walk on them. But then in, like, 2 minutes, the slugs are going to be right behind them, and they're like, we can't go back that way. And it's like, but no, you can, though. You can just walk on them again. That's what you did a second ago.
Yeah, I'm not sure why exactly they have to walk all the way through the sewers.
Science teacher does not know what a pickaxe is for.
Things that science teachers can do, drive big-ass trucks.
True.
Things that they can't do, know how to use a pickaxe?
Mm-hmm.
That's just not in their wheelhouse of skills, I suppose.
Man, he's just like going about the manhole just in the worst of ways. I mean, you think he would have like some basic understanding of leverage or
something? I'm surprised
he
just doesn't start hacking at it. Just trying to chop the manhole cover apart.
It's kind of what he does eventually.
Yeah, they were at a part in the sewer where he says, "Well, why don't you use that little blowtorch and kill all these slugs?" And he's like, "No, there's too much methane here in this part of the sewer that is not in the part that's like 20 feet from here for some reason."
Oh, you know.
Because whatever.
Also, Mike is about to show some crazy acrobatic skills coming up here.
He is, and it's never brought up again. I didn't mention it before, but the first time that Don goes into the sewer toward the beginning of the movie, he has the protective suit on, and Mike's like, "Hey, you look like a man from space," or some shit like that, some dumb joke. And Don invites him down to the sewer, and he's like, "No, I've got a problem with like tight spaces." And I say, shock me with this crazy characterization of claustrophobia. I can't believe that
we have to overcome this as we go into the sewers to defeat the slugs.
We're getting character traits for this character. It's amazing.
JK.
He's in the sewer now. It never comes up again. What? I thought you had a problem with tight spaces.
Not JK.
Just a JK?
Just JK.
So now we've got, which... with the masks on, it's kind of hard to tell who's doing what exactly.
Yeah,
but
true.
This is Don, who's trying to open a hatch to do something.
I don't know. But they better be careful because they're using crowbars. And we all know that slugs like to steal crowbars.
I also like to drop my phone on the floor when we're recording.
Slugs. Look at him. He's still going at it with this pickaxe. He's just like wiggling it around.
That's not how you do it. And what exactly is the sheriff doing here?
He's pretending like they're in Ghostbusters 2.
That's what it is. So yeah, unfortunately, in this moment, we see Don open up the hatch, which lets loose a flood of water that pushes him into this pool that's full of slugs. We got a little bit of water birth imagery to bring us back to our month of anime films and all of the imagery of renewal.
And clearly we're using the color yellow here to symbolize the bond friendship between them.
What?
Don't you give like yellow flowers to your friends or something like that?
Tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree, something like that. I don't know.
Look at him. Look at him. He's monkeying across this thing, and now he's going to like hang upside down. And all I'm thinking the whole time is he can do this, but Bobby, our teenager, who we have to assume is more agile than old Mike here, he couldn't even figure out how to like flip the mattress or something.
Ooh, nice blood geyser. That was
yes.
Nice.
Yes, it is. Oh, and bloated, disgusting face.
That's good.
Mutated by slugs.
I like it.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And that is why right there, that's why we watch these movies.
So Mike gets out, and they're about to introduce this this arsenic stuff into the sewer system and just straight up blow up the entire town.
What is the point? If the science teacher knew that they could have dropped the food down this manhole right here. If they knew that this is where they were going to drop the stuff, then what is the point? It's not like they were leading the slugs with a trail of food or something.
No, I don't think so. Well,
they didn't do that. Don't assume.
No, I don't think they did.
They just had to walk through the slugs for no reason except just for that Dawn could die.
Did you see this? This is like...
The whole town
is blowing up. This has got like an element of Gremlins to it, mm-hmm. where they blow up the movie theater. But this is so much more widespread than that and deserving...
Oh my God, people's houses.
This was totally deserving of like a citywide evacuation before they did this.
Mike is... Look, even
and this
out
is, okay,
in
this
the...
Is, this is the Halloween party. Yeah.
Children are dying. Mike is going to jail for forever.
He should. He should go to jail for this.
I mean, look at those cars. He's exploded. Also, why do all these fire trucks go directly to right here instead of to the houses with people that are burning alive?
Who knows? Because it's a bad fucking movie, and that's what we decided we were going to do when you chose this month of terrible films.
Who did Mike just tell to go to hell? Did he just tell someone to go to hell?
Oh, Don or Don? No,
Don's dead.
No, they're mourning Don briefly. They're just like, oh, lost Don. He's the good dude. And John
for
says,
whatever
well,
reason,
the
they
chances.
decided to give one of the characters a moment of oh, he died. Let's talk about that for a second.
So yeah, we're coming to the end of this movie. And let's just reflect on the sins that this movie deems worthy of death. Okay? Mm. Taking your girlfriend on a boring date. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
Being a drunk. Mm-hmm. Times like three. Not paying your rent. Also, not paying your rent.
Yes, true.
I don't think smoking actually ever gets thrown under the bus.
Well, I mean, she did die. But I thought that she died. If she had died because she flicked the cigarette into the kerosene instead of that they had some kind of acid that started the fire.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's see. Being a workaholic, working too much, like David.
Mm-hmm.
David,
yes.
he got killed for that.
Yes.
Being a lettuce farmer.
Ah, yes.
If you're a lettuce farmer.
Pretty awful.
Or an eater of lettuce.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Death. But not the person who chops the lettuce. That's okay.
No. You can be a drunk and a self-proclaimed bitch and a chopper of lettuce.
As long as you say you're not going to be a drunk and a bitch anymore.
Right. And then you can have a happy ending and disappear from the movie halfway through. Yeah, what else? Oh, having too much sex?
Mm-hmm.
Or also refusing to have sex.
Yes, also.
I don't know who Mike is safe. Mike was, what did he do that kept him safe?
He's a health inspector.
He's a city worker. If
you're a
city worker, your chances of surviving are a little higher.
They are.
A little higher.
Except, you know, the one guy who was like, you don't have the authority to declare happy birthday.
Oh, that's right. It's about half. It's about 50%. 50-50.
The mayor lived.
The mayor did live.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
And the people who wanted to build the shopping center, they lived.
Yeah, well, they're not city workers. They're nothing.
Right, but you know, like only if you're contributing, if you're contributing to like you know, commercial enterprise and stuff in a positive way, bringing that big town shopping into a small town environment, then I think the movie's got some things to say about that.
I think I'll let that be the last word. I would consider this a successful start to our month of bad horror movies.
I love this
movie. As per your request. So, yeah, I look forward to the rest of this month.
Did you like Slugs the movie?
Do I like it?
You haven't told me.
Yeah. I mean, as like, I love bad movies like this, like enjoyably bad movies, and this is totally one of those. So highly recommended. It's not boring. Even though I fell asleep the first time I watched it, it was really late. No, I totally recommend this if you're a fan of bad cinema, like so bad it's good cinema. Do you?
I love this movie. Of course, this is one of my favorite movies.
So we're going to wrap this up. Now that we've reached the end of the movie, we'd like to read a 5-star review that we received on iTunes. This review comes from AO10s with the subject line reading, "Good stuff." And the review reads, "Whether as a commentary track for movies or as a standalone program, this podcast succeeds brilliantly, entertaining, informative, and sometimes downright hilarious. This married couple somehow combines deep analytical discussion with general film nerd passion in perfect balance. Highly recommended for both casual and hardcore fans alike."
Thank you very much, even though I don't think we had very much deep analytical discussion in this.
Not about Slugs.
This particular episode.
Not this month.
If you'd like to leave us a rating and review on iTunes, we'd really appreciate it. And if it's a 5-star review, we'll even read it on the show.
As always, you can find us on our website at popcornpoops.com. Please follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook if you'd like to receive updates about the show, including our weekly movie still identification game. If you have a question, comment, or movie request for us, you can reach us on our social media outlets or by emailing us at thepopcornpoops@gmail.com.
Next week, we'll be continuing our month of bad horror movies with Robert Hiltzik's 1983 film, Sleepaway Camp. If you have any questions about that movie or related topics you'd like us to discuss, please contact us through social media or email.
Thanks for listening, and until next time, take care.
Bye-bye.
We are the Popcorn Poops.
Hey guys, this is JD from the In Session Film Podcast. Every week on our show, you can join my co-host Brendan and I as we review the latest films that's out in theaters. It also inspires us to discuss a top 3 list of some sort, and we have a lot of other fun movie discussions as well. It's always a blast. And we also have a show on Fridays called our Extra Film Podcast. This is a show that gives us the space to talk about the latest indies and art films and other classics that we normally just don't get to talk about on our main show. You can find our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and more. In fact, you can just see everything about us, including our social medias, at InSessionFilm.com. So join us every week. We'd absolutely love to have you.